We have a special guest with us, Dan Keel. You probably remember him going to Kayenta in the beginning. Well, he's not there anymore. He's at Shiprock, New Mexico. Is that correct? Shiprock. I always want to say shipwreck. So Shiprock, New Mexico. And when he was here before, he was single. Well, he's got an addition to that as well, among others. So I'm going to have Dan take over and explain all of that and hear what's going on in Shiprock.
Yeah, it's been, I am on. It's been about, I guess it's almost 3 years since I've been here. On a Wednesday night, I came with Josh. Josh and I have been friends for many years, and I was still in Bear Valley. I was in my first year, if I remember right. And anyway, we've graduated from that. We've moved on to Kayenta for about 10 months. But in the spring of last year, the preacher in Shiprock left, and they were without a preacher, and we had two in Kayenta. So the way the year went and the way the year worked out, Rose and I had been friends for about 3 years before that, but we decided that we were kind of got them butterflies towards each other up there for a while towards the end of last year. Anyway, so we ended up getting married in November, and we were in Shiprock December 2nd. We started our work there. This is the Shiprock. Has anybody been to Shiprock? So you know this formation. In Navajo, it's called Sebit'a'a, that's taken me a long time to say. But it basically, it translated means rock with wings. The Belaganas are what we are. We call it Shiprock, but the Navajo is Sebit'a'a, and it plays in the Navajo tradition creation story a little bit. They say when the worlds were created that it used to be a bird, and it carried souls on its back, and it got stuck in rock form by the giant people that caused it to change back into rock formation. So It's a sacred monument on the reservation. There's nobody that can rock climb it or anything. You can go all the way up to it, touch it, and stuff. That's the road that's going into it. You can see right there. But anyway, we are excited to be here. We were at the lectureships in Bear Valley yesterday, and we were at Lone Tree Church of Christ this morning, and we're here, of course, worshiping with you guys because you guys are very key in what we do. Very elemental. So Shiprock started as a farming community. This is a picture from 1903. You guys probably have heard of them. There have been schools called boarding schools, and where the children would go, the Navajo children would go, and they would go to school. They would live there. Rose was in a boarding school when she was growing up. You can talk to people about it, and boarding schools were not a very nice place to be. They didn't allow the children to talk their language. They were very sometimes abusive and other reasons. But the agricultural school was the third one that started in Shiprock. The guy that ran this school was actually very well loved by the community. And he was very well respected by the Navajo. But unfortunately, it closed in 1955. And if you can see, there's Shiprocks over this. It doesn't look anywhere as fertile as this now. Because the rain and everything's different, although we feel your pain with the rain because we've gotten slammed like you guys with the flooding and stuff. We've gotten that same thing. So Shiprock is the second largest town on the reservation. Tuba City is 70 miles west of Kayenta. It is now the biggest city. It edges out Shiprock by about 300 people. This is from the 2010 census. The poverty rate is a little higher than 39.6. This is, of course, the people that they record. So this is the people that get, disability. What is it called? Unemployment benefits. There we go. And stuff. So that's recorded off of that. So There's actually a lot more. It's in the 60s probably in Shiprock. There's not a lot going on. But they have business that they run. They have food and they have flea markets and stuff like that. So the third highest in the United States of Native American communities, that's any community in the United States that has any Native American population in it. Albuquerque's actually seventh in the nation. So Farmington's fourth. It's right behind Shiprock. So there's not a lot to do, but what there is to do, people hang on to it. The power plants there, the people that have those power plant and those mining jobs, they've had them for 20, 30 years, you know. So there's not a lot of turnover. The large church was established in Shiprock in 1974. Although there were missionaries going out, you guys well know, to the reservation in the 60s. If you guys know, I'm not sure if you know J.B. Harrington, he's the preacher in Eastside in Farmington. He remembers going to the reservation in a white Chevy panel van with the VBS tent and everything loaded in the back of it. They'd go out, they'd set up Kayenta mini farms around Shiprock and stuff and do VBSs for 2 weeks. He had to sleep in the little panel, you know, guys remember them Chevy panel vans and stuff. So he was sleeping in that. And anyway, he's still preaching in at Eastside. But the congregation had at one time 85 to 100 members. And when we got there in December, there is evidence of that. There's Bible Bowl trophies in the library that we have and stuff. And there's, of course, there was a software company there in the 70s and 80s, and they pulled out. Of course, that was a lot of business and stuff. So anyway, it shrunk a little bit. So I'll show you a little bit of the ground. You guys, I don't know if anybody, has anybody been to the church there? The Shiprock? Okay. This is, I say this, you guys know, have you ever tried to take a group picture? You try to get everybody there at the same day? You can't do it. It's impossible. So this is not all the congregation, although this is a lot of them. And I want to point out some key people in this. This lady here, her name is Mary. This man here, his name is Chuck. This is David. This is Wayne. This is Peter. These guys are special needs. And this is Desiree, but she doesn't come very often. They're special needs, and they're fine and everything. What they have is their mental capacity is not, you know, as advanced as it should be. Mary's about 60. She just turned 61, huh? 61. Chuck is about 58. David's just turned 51. Wayne's 60. Huh? 64? We can't figure out because his identification card, he says, is his wrong birthday, but we don't know how old he is. But anyway. So, and then Peter. Peter's our song leader. He's 42. But they have like a 14. You know, guys, you have a 14. But I'll tell you what. And I tell this morning, I praise them everywhere I go. They do not get bogged down with things of the world. God, His church, their brothers and sisters are all they think about. If you have an event, they're there. If you're feeling down, they're there. If you have a potluck, they're there. They're helping, they're working, they're handing out flyers, they're worshiping. Every time you have something, the door doesn't have to be open. They're there. And it keeps us, because it's easy to just sit down and say, man, what's going on? These guys keep us going. If you guys have ever been around special needs like this, they are focused on the heaven. They're focused on their brothers and sisters. But anyway, there are some key people. This lady here, Elsie Jo, this lady here, Victoria, they kept, them and two other ladies kept the church going when there wasn't a preacher. When the preacher left, they picked up, they found guys to come and preach. And stuff. So we have Grandma. We call her name's Rose too, but Grandma Rose, she's 94. She comes every service. So this is the bound. This is the building and grounds. This is the fellowship hall. It used to be the church building. We live in this single wide here. Victoria lives over here with her kids. This is a storage shed. And there's our van. This is the front of the fellowship building. I'll show you where these are new doors. When we got there, none of this was it on, and the doors were had great big old gaps in them and blowing sand in there and everything. Front of the church building, we built this ramp in March to help Grandma Rose and other, you know, people get up the stem. This is the inside of the church building. It's really nice. It's an ag building, and they framed walls and stuff. It's beautiful. We've done a lot of work. We put a projector in there, and they used to be this way. The pews used to be this way, but we couldn't use them all. They were stacked over in the corner, so we turned them. We spread it out, and I tell you, you get 80 people in there. It's awesome. So it looks great. This is our nursery over here, which we actually have a new baby now that could actually go in there. Anyway, this is looking back from the front door. Oops, these are classrooms over here, and then the library is back through there, which is this picture. We have a pretty good little library, you know, for a little congregation. We've got lots of vines, lots of Bible study stuff. So this is looking out in the back. This is our backyard kind of thing. It doesn't look a lot like Colorado, but it kind of, you know, it's green like Colorado. We got some grass, well, some weeds. But anyway, so this is the playground equipment. This was in pieces when we got there. And I'm going to show you a mission group that came in March, and they helped us rebuild all the playground equipment and paint it so our kids could. This has got new swings on it, new chains. We didn't get this done yet, but anyway, everything's fixed. This is the backside of our trailer here. So we have a fire pit where we do devos and stuff right here. So this is our van. We don't have what you would call a van ministry, but we do run the van every time, like a joy bus kind of ministry, because that's just too much. That's too much for me to handle and stuff. But we do pick up about 10 people that I know they would be there if they could drive. You know, we pick up our special need group. We use it to go to functions and stuff. So the physical challenges when we got there, we've had a lot of challenges physically, but we've had so many spiritual victories. I want to talk about, we had a Bear Valley campaign in March, and it was to advertise our spring gospel meeting that we had. And then we have one man from that gospel meeting that's still coming, that I'm still studying with. So this is this little girl right here. This is when, you guys remember, you guys were instrumental in stopping this problem by providing us some money for our HVAC system. That pipe right there had busted. Because it was below zero in there, and when it thawed, it had flooded the whole building. Well, she's actually frozen. Her pants are actually frozen, but her little red cheeks. This is her right here. She's our little servant girl. So that's Heidi Ray. She's helping me mop up. These guys right here. This is Victoria, of course. We made them this. Her sister and her made them this quilt. This is John Brown, and this is Gary McDonald. They're from Joplin, Missouri. Mount Hope Church of Christ. If you guys remember when the tornado went through there, they received so much love and so much support from their brothers and sisters that they have passed it on. Every couple of months, John brings out a one-ton Ford with a 24-foot enclosed trailer full of personal items, and he starts in the children's home, if you guys know where Thoreau is. He goes to the children's home there. He goes to Gallup, to Manuelito. He goes to St. Michael's, and then he starts heading up all the congregations, all the Navajo. And it doesn't matter. We have never been told no, that we can't get it. We can't do it. They recently put tires on our van, mud tires, because that gray clay is so, you can't run a regular all-terrain tire because it plugs up. And so they bought us mud tires for our van. $800-something. They sent them to us. All we had to do was go get them mounted. They provided us a water tank for church camp. You're going to see that. They provided a lawnmower for the Hogback congregation, a riding lawnmower, because they have a lot of area to mow. They provided 1,000 Bibles last year for the congregation. The Shiprock congregation passed out 1,000 Bibles last year at the fair, all by themselves. They didn't have a preacher yet. We weren't there yet. Anyway, they are paying back the love that they got, and it is awesome. This is a campaign, guys, from Bear Valley in March. You can see what we had for heat, these little propane radiant burners. So you walk in there and you're like, phew, we're okay. You know, you wanted to wear a carbon monoxide meter on your neck because we had two of them going during worship and stuff. So, but that's what we had for heat. This was before the group came in March. So this is, these are my three amigos, I call them. This is David, Wayne, his brother. This is our song leader, Peter. So they're always there. They're great. So like I said, these guys were just, they were there. We were having a Devo. We went out and we passed out 1,400 flyers for the gospel meeting. And it was awesome because we got Harrison coming. So that's that one. I tell them, if we get one, we've won. You know, one, we've won. So this is the kids helping and Rose helping them. They're making Navajo tacos, if you guys have ever had them. Those are really good. But that's the Bear Valley guys, giving them a meal. This was our first Wednesday back, was when they were there. We didn't worship on Wednesday because we couldn't afford to heat the building and stuff at the time. But we got everything fixed. And so our first Wednesday back, we started worshiping on Wednesday, so we had a fellowship meal and services. This is the group that came in March. Mike and Diane Richardson, they are from Iowa. They have an eldership in Arkansas that oversees their mission work, and that's all they do is run mission trips. They go to Mexico, South America. Now that I think they're going to come back to Shiprock, but they go to Alaska, Canada. And they put on meetings or they fix buildings. I mean, anyway, every person brings $100 and they put that into the projects that we do. So we've got when they were there, we got a water heater, a new water heater. We got a shingles, new doors. Anyway, this is all the old stuff. And this is what you guys helped us with right here. Now we're in this new gas line that we had to dig the old gas line up. And this is the HVAC system you guys donated money to help us with. And just because of congregations like you, we are now climate controlled without having to be. We got heat and we got cool. We're in that time of year right now where nobody's right. You know what I mean? It's like somebody's cold, somebody's hot. But anyway, you guys made that possible. We cannot thank you enough for that. she's wearing. Hope's got her blanket on. This guy right here was amazing. He taught me how cool scrapping was, metal. We had an old boiler system in there. That's what was heated before. It had frozen, broke a couple of years ago, so that's why they didn't have any heat. He helped me. He said, Dan, he said, you know what? You need to take all this aluminum fins off them copper pipes because that'll make that copper pipe a 1 instead of a 2, and then you can take the aluminum, then you can take the steel. You separate all this out, you'll get more money. Well, we got about $300 out of it. So anyway, that box was about 45 pounds of aluminum by the time he was done because every copper pipe had the aluminum fins on it for the radiant heat and stuff. So anyway, we got 45 pounds of aluminum out of that box. But anyway, he's awesome. So now I'm a metal scrapper. And they're just putting on doors, just picking up. The place has just been run down. Just not, you know, it was spiritually it was kind of run down, and physically it was run down. Nobody taking care of it. So then these guys are always working, these two. This kid, he had a monotonous job. All the screws were coming out of the side of the fellowship hall, so he put new screws all the way around. There was like 1,500 and something by the time he was done. But he did it all in one day. He's like, This was really scary when we moved there. You could walk by this and it would be smoking. This was our breaker box. These guys braved it. They went and bought hot gloves, pulled the meter, and they changed all this breaker box and stuff. But the breaker had physically been on fire before in there. It was all wore out. We'd have a storm come through and it would turn everything off. But these are some of that group from. This guy's actually an engineer at Firestone in Tennessee. So, getting more. Anyway, this blue building here is an old Napa Auto Parts building on Main Street in Shiprock, and they had left all that garbage blew in the ship or into the church building, so we picked all that up, and there's more helping us. And this is Diane, this is Mike's wife, this is our kitchen and our fellowship hall. She was the wife of the mission group there, and she's a great lady. So our next one is church camp. We had 67 campers. Has anybody ever been to our church camp before on the res? I know you guys have. Anyway, we had one of our supporters is Hyco Church of Christ in Hyco, Texas, of course. They come up every year and they cook for us. They do all the meal cooking, all the preparation. The topic was a new look at the old law. So what we did is we had all the classes, the adult classes and the kids classes, was all based on Jesus raising the bar, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount and stuff. So, you know, no longer is, you know, you don't hate, you know, you don't murder, you don't understand Jesus raised. So that was the classes. We had one baptism. But this is kind of, this is the landscape that it is in. It's very pretty. It's very remote. We love it. We have to haul in water and we bring porta potties in. But it's this family's land. This is Philip James. I don't know if you guys have ever met him from Hogback. And this is his mom. This is his wife, Philip's wife. This is his oldest sister, Loretta, and this is her daughter. But it was their grandson that got baptized, one of their grandsons. But this is their land, that this church camp is. It's where Philip was raised in a hogan, you know, slept on a lambskin or a sheepskin, you know, rug. And I told him this morning, Laura, his mom, loves sheep head. If you guys like sheep head, she will fix it for you. Complete with the eyes and stuff. I'm just saying, I'm not trying it for you. You're making you hungry? Oh. No. Anyway, this is our water up there. And Titus, this is Titus still baptizing his grandson Titus. So he actually lives in Phoenix with his mom and dad. But he's going to church. He actually got his mom and dad had fallen away. This baptism actually got his mom and dad back into church. So yeah, it's awesome. These are two elders. This is Fred Lemons from Austin Avenue Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. He always brings stuff to the res. They supported me and Terry Lawrence. Do you guys know Terry Lawrence? Did you meet Terry Lawrence? He's a Navajo preacher in Fort Defiance. Josh baptized him in Kayenta. Anyway, he's from there. This is D. Lott, and he's from Abilene. And I couldn't remember this morning what congregation he's from in Abilene. But anyway, this was his first time. Fred comes every year. He brings a stock trailer he puts a bunk up in the gooseneck and fills the rest of it up with giveaway stuff. But he's great, actually. And so these two girls right here, you can tell they have, you know, dirty faces and having lots of fun. And then there's our teenager right there. And then there's Rose. You can see this is the kind of, it's rough, just rough camping. There's not a lot of... Anyway, this is our camp. You guys know Tom Walker from Inglewood, the preacher in Inglewood? But anyway, that's him right there. He comes down every year, and this is where we have our classes under. We have horseshoes, volleyball, water balloon fights, and all that good stuff. And it goes Sunday on afternoon till Thursday. Everybody leaves Thursday. But this is Isaiah, the water balloons. This is a bad, I didn't know it was that bad. But anyway, this is our congregation that support us out of HICO. This is their youth group. So anyway, they come up every year. This is Greg cooking. This is, like I said, just kind of how it's set up. So, and then this is how we come with all the coolers on the food. And then this is that water tank that we said that they donated, 305 gallons. This is the first year we never ran out of water. We had about 2 inches of water in the bottom of them when we were done. So anyway, it worked out really good. So our VBS this year was put on by, if you remember, John Brown in the picture that brings out all the stuff. It's Mount Hope Church of Christ. They brought 36 members. We had 91 kids and 31 adults. And we got one lady still coming. So like I said, we got the one and we won. They didn't want to have it. I guess they don't have adult classes, all VBSs. Everyone I've been to, there were adult classes. But anyway, this is they have a Kingdom Rock was kind of it was a medieval theme. So they had a drawbridge right here where you walked in the front door, and it was kind of neat. This is Isaac, the youth minister for them. His actual name was King Isaac, but his last name is King, so it's Isaac King, King Isaac. So we have VBS. This is one of our adult classes outside. Lots of stuff going on. This is Fred. He's in charge of BBS from that congregation. And this was what they called Imagination Station. It was the craft. You put our suitcases in the truck. So they're wet. Our suitcases were in the back. Wow. The theme was Stand Strong for God. So it was like Stand Strong for God. So this was Queen Esther. She was playing Queen Esther. So and now I was and he was I think he was Mordecai. I can't remember if he was Mordecai or was he Mordecai? Yeah. So that's what they're doing there. Anyway, we advertised, we handed out flyers and stuff. So like I said, this was just one night. And it was great to see that many kids and that many adults. Our adult class was great. So this one of the activities outside, they were blindfolded and had to knock these big marshmallows off. But this is my dream, or all of our dreams, to have a parking lot like this every Sunday, full of cars. So far, we don't have this row. We got a lot of this row over here, but this is what I want. This is what we want to get back to. I know it's possible. Everything's possible with God, but there's a lot of good work, a lot of good people in Shiprock that need the Lord. So this is just another one of the Imagination Station ones. And then this is the group from Mount Hope that came. I tell us because she's funny. This lady right here, she had never been out of the city in her life. So her husband said this is a big step for her, okay? So she came and took to me the first day. She goes, is there a mall around here? And I was like, yeah, there's a mall in Farmington. She goes, how far is Farmington? I go, 30 minutes. She goes, I'm going to go. She goes, I just love the smell of a mall. So she came back with Fuddrucker. She goes, I'm a Fuddrucker. You know, she found a Fuddrucker. But anyway, she'd find a reason to go to Farmington every day. I don't know. But she was hilarious. So our next event is coming up in a little over a week. The Navajo Nation Northern Fair. It's the oldest tradition on the Navajo Nation. It was started in the early 1900s. In 2012, there was 100,000 people that visited the fair. 400 entries in the parade. It starts on October 3rd and goes through the 6th. Our church building is right smack in the middle of it all. The parking, everything around us is fair. It's just a big flat area for all the parking. We're right by the road for the fair. And this is where they did the Bibles last year. This is where they handed out the 1,000 Bibles. This year we have 1,300 and something copies of The Agony of the Cross by Hodge. What is his name? Charles, yes. I know, I forgot my sticky. I always forget his name. But anyway, so last Monday, we met. We have men's and ladies' class every Monday night. So we met, and we're putting Salvation Plan stickers in the front cover because we're hoping to bridge a lot of denominations with this book maybe by chance have that Salvation Plan so they can say, wait a minute, So anyway, we were peeling stickers and putting them in books. So this is the guy that's coming still from the gospel meeting. His name is Harrison. This is Nelson. He's not a Christian, and he's coming every day, every chance he gets. And this is Thomas. This is Molly, a key member of the congregation. Been there almost her whole life. This is Treva. This is Nelson's wife. She remembers the Bible Bowl days. She grew up in the congregation as a teenager. She remembers competing with Gallup and Albuquerque and Farmington in these Bible Bowls. So she's a driving force. And this lady right here is the lady that's still coming from VBS. Her name's Henrietta. Kind of a rough home life, but she's got three beautiful kids. Anyway, she's breaking out of her shell and not staying home anymore. Her husband battles with addictions. But anyway, she's still coming. So that's what we were doing. Actually, these are... And they're like, we get 5 boxes. Like, we only got 1 sticker. So me and Rose were peeling the stickers, and Mary, if you remember, one of our special needs ladies, she was sticking them in the book. But anyway, like I said, this is what we were putting in there. So hopefully that ask some questions, because it's a little different than what maybe they're being taught, you know. So kind of the summary. I teach 5 classes a week. I teach the men's class. I teach the men's class, and then the midweek, and then through the 3 classes on Sunday with worship and stuff. Elsie Joe right now is teaching the ladies' class, but I've really been trying to encourage one of the other ladies to pick up the next session and stuff. We go to me and Philip from Hogback. We go to a preacher's meeting every Tuesday, except the second Tuesday of the month we go to Durango. But every other Tuesday we're in Farmington with the congregations there. We're just reading scriptures, just preachers getting together. Men of the congregations get together. We've been reading through Matthew, Mark. We're in Luke right now. We're just stopping and saying, wow, that, you know what, you guys know what I mean. When you guys just get together and you bounce stuff off each other. And it keeps the reservation work in their minds and stuff. So Tuesday night I was actually counseling with some people, with 2 couples, and it's turned into full-blown Bible studies. And it usually goes till 10:30 or so at night. So we're really, you know, Nelson and Trevor are one of the couples. So we're doing a lot of personal studies on Tuesday. Thursday and Friday, we try to go home to Chimito, Arizona, where Rose was born and raised. It's over by Kayenta, between Kayenta and Mini Farms. So we come over on Saturday to Shiprock, and we stay Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and we go Wednesday night after Bible study. And then we stay home, because you can't get away from, even Jesus needed to get away, you know, and have a break, because we'll have people knocking on the doors at all hours of the night. You know, people that are drunk, people that are, because it's right in the middle of a walking area, you know, so the warmer the weather, the more people walk by, and they'll knock on the door wanting, you know, food or whatever, but I don't know, anyway, it gives us a break to go home and just kind of unwind, do my honeydews and stuff like that. So one Saturday a month we've been setting up at the flea market, and we've had lots of good responses for that. And then September through May, we have this reservation, monthly reservation class, which is this. And this year, it's called the Destructive Doctrine of Premillennialism. So these are the subjects, and the instructors, Wayne Berger from Bear Valley, and he preaches at Conifer. I don't know if any of you guys know Wayne Berger. But anyway, he came down. I'm going to do the next session about the study of Revelation 20, basically what they teach, what the Bible teaches about premillennialism. And then Josh is going to teach the Church in the Kingdom. Jeff Foster is the preacher in Gallup. Bob, and I can never say his last name, so it's Bob. He's going to do the signs of the time with Matthew 24 and 25. But anyway, every month we go to a different congregation, and it gives that congregation a chance to host. And then we have, this is from 6 to 9 on Friday, and then 8 to noon. It gives everybody a chance to get back to their congregations for Sunday. And it goes, like I said, this is Chiprock. I actually filled this. I didn't have this filled, but Joe Wilkie from Lone Tree this morning is going to teach this one for us in Shiprock. So anyway, that's kind of what we do. We get together, we fellowship, we have meals and stuff, and we study the Bible. So we got about, when we got there was about 7 full-time people that were coming. We averaged 26 on Sunday morning Bible class. And like I said, Sunday morning, this is usually about the same. We've had as many as 40, but we've had as less, you know, as 17. So we averaged it out and stuff. So we've got 26. Sunday worship, 27. PM worship, 16. The men's class, we got 9 coming, and we got those 3 non-members coming right now. So we're hoping, you know, that they're going to understand the need to put Jesus on. So ladies class, at least 11. And they're studying the life of David right now with some lessons. David. And then we have midweek worship is 17, which is pretty good, because a lot of the people that work have a hard time getting there by time. But anyway, when we got there, an offering was about $43, because everybody was the ladies were paying all the bills themselves out of their own personal accounts, and we talked about it. We said we need to run as much through the church as we can. And so we're up, this is an average of 143. We're budgeted for 200 a week to pay our bills. We want to be self-sufficient. This congregation has not been on its own for about 12 years. They've had outside support, and we still have it, but we want to get away from that. We want the members to be able to pay our own power bills, our own propane. Right now we're getting $200. We're getting $100 from Eastside Church of Christ in Farmington and $100 from Acton Church of Christ in Tennessee. But we're getting closer. This was really good until this has been over $200 in the spring. But people have gotten away from some financial problems. And anyway, so it's dropped back down, but it's a lot better than what it was. I mean, we're basically using that $200 for gas and for the van because it's so expensive and stuff. So, and this is the time where I just say thank you. We can't do any of it without you. We are blessed that you have reached out and touched the lives of the people that we touch through our hands because of you, brothers and sisters. We thank you so much. We thank you for your donation for the HVAC system. Believe me, it's nice to go back there and hit the buttons instead of having to light those burners or have those swamp coolers blowing where you can't even hear each other, because you couldn't, and fans. And anyway, you guys know what I mean. But is there any questions? I'd like to ask or answer some of them. Yes, sir. My personal one? Oh, the church? A month, it's $805. That's insurance on the building, and that's the phone bill, the propane bill, we just pay as we go. The utility bill. NTUA, which is water and power and sewer. And then we have van insurance every 6 months. We don't have any, like I said, there's no frills. We need about $805 or some round in there. You betcha. Yes, there is a baptistry. I really couldn't tell you that. I couldn't show you. There wasn't a shot. Like where the nursery was, it's back in the corner. That group that was there in March helped us fix that, actually. It had a hole in it. So we plumbed it so it filled and... Do you? Yeah.
Can we stand back?
Yes, yeah. We actually plumbed it so it fills and drains at the bottom, And then, I hope we wear it out here in a little bit. So... Yes, we do have a baptistry, and it's cold. that boiler system, they had a heater pipe going through there to warm it. But like I said, when all that failed, that went away. Any more questions? Yes, ma'am. Tons. Very, very strong. The biggest one is a Christian Reformed Church. It's called Bethel Christian Reform. They have probably the most. The other ones, the Assembly of God is a big one. Anything Pentecostal, anything Holy Spirit related to get emotions going, they'll have what we call tent meetings. Basically, remember the days of tent meetings used to be good, right? Set up a tent, people come hear the gospel. Tent meetings anymore are, they set up a tent, you get the healing, you're healed, and they get the bands going. But they get hundreds and hundreds of people coming to these things. And that's why we just got to keep, just keep chipping away at it. Catholics, you wouldn't think are very strong there, but they have a little following. The Mormons aren't as strong as, the Mormons kind of lost all that. They've kind of backslid there. They have a huge building, probably twice as big as your guys' building, but there's not anybody that goes. And the parking lot's like little tiny, which is good, At least they're getting away from, you know, that side of it. But they got to get them away from the emotional, because they're very spiritual. They love to worship. They love to sing. But we got to get the, you know, get them back on the pattern. So that's what. But yeah, there's a little Seventh-day Adventist, a few of that. But other than that, it's mostly Pentecostal. Yes.